If you haven't suffered, you haven't lived long enough. And if you're a Christian and you haven't suffered for being a Christian, you haven't been a Christian for very long. Or you're not getting out there and making it known that you're Christian. In verse 5 we read that the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. Christ suffered, we will suffer. And it flows over, doesn't trickle over, but because we're united with Christ, we will suffer by the means of the fact that we follow him. So God sent his Son into a world which was alienated from God, and in this world he suffered. He suffered in this world and for this world. In the same ways, the followers of Christ too will suffer. The sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. There is a cross that every Christian has to bear. Let no one try and tell us otherwise. For Paul, he had on view the sufferings which came to him as a result of being a follower of Jesus. For us, it may be that, or simply suffering that comes from living in a fallen world. But either way, when we suffer, we should not be surprised. Yes, let us note well the divine inevitability of suffering. But let us note as well, secondly, the adequacy of God's comfort. Thankfully, things don't just stop with the suffering. Just as the sufferings flow over into our lives, so too does God's comfort. So follow with me from verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Do you notice there the description of God? We'd do well to dwell on it, wouldn't we? The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He cares. He longs to comfort us when we are suffering. And Paul experienced both the sufferings of Christ and the comfort of Christ. He suffered in the course of proclaiming the good news of Jesus to others, and in this suffering, he experienced the comfort of God. And the Christians in Corinth likewise shared both in the suffering and the comfort. Notice verse 7, "And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort." And it's the same with us. See, what is it that binds us together as the people of God? Well, we heard of some of the trademarks earlier, but these are two of the trademarks: the sufferings of Christ and the comfort of Christ. And friends, we must remember that both are the marks of the Christian community. See, one danger is to think that there should be no suffering, as some churches actually teach. But there is another trap to avoid as well. Don't think that the comfort of Christ won't flow over into our lives. At times in suffering, we might think, will we ever get any relief? Or maybe even that God doesn't care. Or that he doesn't have any ability to do anything about it. No, we must keep in mind that God is up to the task. He can and will comfort you. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our life, so too does his comfort. So take heart, suffering ones. God's comfort is available. A big question, though, that all this raises is, what is the nature of God's comfort? Well, to help us sort this out, we must refer back to the Old Testament and to the book that we recently studied, the book of Isaiah. What's the key chapter that about comfort in Isaiah? You remember? Chapter 40. Thanks, Jim. Chapter 40, verse 1. A people who are suffering in exile, the prophetic message comes, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that a sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." See, the comfort that's on view here is that God will deal with her sins and that he will restore them and that they will no longer be in exile. And ultimately, God dealing with our sins was through what Christ did on the cross. And so while we can be comforted and given strength in the midst of our sufferings, ultimately we know that the comfort that we need is that one day all the consequences of sin will be done away with. Friends, remember that there is a new world coming where there will be no more suffering, no more difficulties, no more HSCs. The comfort of which Isaiah spoke foreshadowed Jesus and the salvation that he would bring. The servant of the Lord would one day come to bring that salvation. And so we read in 2 Corinthians 1, in verse 6 of salvation, in verse 9 of God who raises the dead. See, the comfort which comes from Christ has to do with this salvation. And that is the comfort that we all need, isn't it? You see, ultimately the comfort of God is the sure knowledge that you are going to be with him forever. And this knowledge brings a new perspective to our human suffering now. You see, if there wasn't a world to come, then if all we do is suffer now, well, it's terrible. But if you know that God is going to take you to be with him forever, then even if we are persecuted now, even if we suffer physically, or even if our life is taken, we can know that one day that we will be with God forever. As Paul said elsewhere, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But you can't say for me to live is Christ if you can't say to die is gain. Well, let's move on to the benefit of our sufferings. Here in these verses, we get two very clear answers to what are the benefits of our suffering. Did you pick them up there? What are the benefits of our suffering from these verses? We can comfort others, exactly. Our sufferings enable us to provide a ministry of comfort to others. So, look at verses 3 and 4 again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, and then, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You see, when we receive comfort from God, it is not just to stop there. The comfort that we receive is not just for our benefit. The focus in our troubles and afflictions should never be solely for ourselves, because the comfort that flows over to us from Christ is meant to flow over to others. So if we have suffered, then we're in a much better position to comfort others. As God has provided for you through your struggles, you can provide help and assistance to others who are experiencing similar things. George Duncan was quite a famous Scottish preacher in the late 60s and early 70s. He used to speak at CMS Summer School. And I remember him telling the story of how he was in hospital once, having an operation. And the person in the bed next to him was in quite a lot of pain. And this person would just scream out in agony at all the pain. But the nurse on the ward on one particular day had no sympathy at all for this person. She just wanted to shut him up and was sick of his screaming. So George Duncan calls her over, says, nurse, have you got a minute? Over she walks. Nurse, have you ever had an operation? No, she said. And he replied, well, it's about time you did. You see the point, don't you? By her not having had an operation, she could not sympathise with the guy that was having one, had one and was in all this pain. And so you see, whether it be physical suffering or the trials that come from being a Christian, there is a comfort that is derived from having been there yourself. You're in a much better position to offer that comfort, and people appreciate it. that you have been there, whether you have endured some sickness or you speak of the alienation you've received at school or whatever it might be, you can comfort others. And if the ultimate comfort on view is the comfort of the gospel, the comfort that comes from knowing our eternal destiny, then that too is not to stop with us. We are to pass it on, hence our book of the month, The Art of Neighbouring, how we can love those around us. Yes, our sufferings have a purpose, that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves have received. But secondly, from these verses, we experience suffering to prevent self-confidence in ourselves. There is nothing like difficulties to make us realise that we can't do it on our own. When the difficult times come, they drive us to God. They drive us to our knees in prayer to acknowledge that we can't do it without Him. There is nothing like serious affliction to make us realise how weak and vulnerable we really are. I suspect that students pray more in the lead-up to the HSC than they do in the couple of weeks afterwards. They realise they need God. And it's the same with all of us in whatever situation we're in. When the difficult times come and we're brought low, we know that we need our God. And so we read from verses 8 and 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. For Paul, the bottom was falling out of his world. As a kid, I used to love going to Luna Park, and I remember the first time I went on the ride, the Rotor. I think it's still there. And I really had no idea what I was letting myself in for. My mate ushered me into the queue, and before I knew it, we were standing in this wide cylindrical thing, and I looked around and thought, well, what's going on here? And it had no roof. And as I looked up, there were all these people in a circle sort of peering down on us, laughing, thinking, ah, you suckers down there, do you know what's going to happen? I felt a little nervous. What was going to happen next? I said to my mate, what do we do? He said, just stand up against the wall. And so I willingly obliged. He said, stand close with your arms wide out. So I did. I said, what happens now? He said, it's going to start to spin. And it did. I said, well, what's next? He said, the floor is going to drop away. And it did. And I was a bit shell-shocked when I walked out of the ride for the first time. But I regrouped and had another go a little bit later. But the bottom had fallen out of my world. And that is what happened to Paul in Asia. He got to the point where he despaired even of life, and some of us now or in times past might have got to such a point where we really thought that we're on the brink. And even how can we cope with the pressures and the difficulties that we're going through? See, for Paul, this was no little setback. Look at the severity of his affliction. We were under great pressure, he says, far beyond our ability to endure. He couldn't do it in his own strength. He just had no idea how he was going to continue. What was his personal response? He despaired even of life. In his heart, he felt the sentence of death. Well, what was the purpose of it all? Have a look at the second part of verse 9. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You see, when you are staring death in the face, when it is far beyond your ability to cope, it becomes abundantly clear that self-sufficiency is a myth. Every breath we take is only by the grace of God. In such moments, we realize that God is God and we are not. And we learn to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Let us learn that lesson, friends. For we may be feeling fairly self-sufficient tonight. You might be feeling you're ready for the exams that are coming. You may feel that life is going along pretty well, that your family life is good, you're enjoying your extracurricular activities. And yeah, there's a little bit of God stuff in there. But remember, we can do nothing without the God who gives us this life. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In the midst of our sufferings and trials, remember that. These things happen that we might learn to rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. When sufferings come, there are two things that can happen. We can have, firstly, comfort in our sufferings, or secondly, deliverance from our sufferings. In this world, some afflictions may never leave us. There may be things that we struggle with and wrestle with and find difficult that are just going to be there as part of our life. Remember that Paul asked for the thorn in the flesh to be taken away? Whatever it was some form of suffering. And he asked, please take it away, God. But do you remember the answer? My grace is sufficient for you. I won't take it away, but I'll look after you as you suffer. So, friends who follow the Lord Jesus, as you live out the Christian life, remember that being a Christian is never easy. But remember that God's strength is demonstrated through our weakness, and that God can deliver us from our sufferings or comfort us in our sufferings. As someone has said, I know no Christian life that is beyond hardship, but I know no hardship that is beyond God's comfort. He has, he does, and he will deliver us. Praise be to him. Amen.